Okay, hey everybody, I'm Darlene, I'm an addict.
Hey, buddy!
Oh my goodness, Kenny just gave me life! Oh, I can't even think it was so good. The humor and the honesty mixed, you know what I mean? My clean date is August the 7th, 1986. I've been in this program for 30 years, hopefully. Wow. If I make it, like you said, if we make it, you know, it'll be 31 this summer. You know, clap for Narcotics Anonymous. Clap for Narcotics Anonymous. You know what? When I came to this program, I had no intention of staying here. It never even occurred to me that I would end up in a room full of dope fiends, nuts, you know, crooks, criminals, because I was above all of that. I was completely above all of that. You know, I was convinced that I knew everything and that I was only stopping here for a moment because somebody asked me to. You know, no ability to self-reflect. No ability to self-reflect. Couldn't get honest and talk about why the hell I was really here. You know what I mean? No ability to self-reflect. And so for me, you know, in thinking about the 10th step, it's really about that kind of practice of self-reflection. Can I build a practice? Because to me, the program is real simple, but it's something I don't know anything about, right? So it's about principles and practices. The program is about principles and practices, but I didn't have any. No, I had principles on the street. I did. I don't want to lie. You all know that there are a lot of principles and practices on the street. It's just that they kept getting me, you know, kind of like deeper and deeper into the hole that I had to drag myself out of with the help of you people. You know what I mean? But I had no concept of like building my own values or, you know, caring about anything. No self-respect, no ability to, I don't even know. Those things didn't even cross my mind. I came here and I was like, wow, I can't believe people are talking about these kinds. I was really amazed. I thought y'all were like, you know, magic workers and, you know, wow. And look, when I started using, you know, because I'm a really intellectual person. I mean, you know what? Addicts always say that bullshit. You know, we really not. I'm going to be real. You know, we really aren't. You know what I mean? We're idiots. You know what I'm saying? We're fools. You just heard what he said. Like, who does that dumb stuff? Only an addict. But in my mind, I'm an intellectual idiot then. At least can I be that. Right? So, you know, I mean, my thinking would tell me that, you know, I can come in here, I can do some things, I can get myself together, but I didn't understand what you all were doing. The practices and the way that you all were talking was unreal to me. I had never seen anything like it. I mean, now, this is what I heard when I was with the addicts before I came to this group of addicts. You remember when I had that, you know when we used to do, remember how we did that, remember when we did, you know what I mean, like, I remember when, the last time, was nothing talking about what was going on right now. Everything that was good was either a fantasy or some story about the past that was probably a what, a lie, right on, right, a lie. And so coming here and hearing people talking about the current condition of their lives and the way that the past had actually brought them to this place kind of really shocked me, you know? And even my tendency toward being an intellectual, because I came, you know, obviously the only literature we had was the basic text. Right. We had the basic text and we had like a couple pieces of paper that had been... What do you call it? Photocopy. Yeah, photocopy. Like, to the point where you have to ask each other. Y'all know, you ask each other, what does number 17 say? You know, like that. And we'd all be sharing it. We'd be photocopying the things and sending them back and forth to each other and trying to get some help with each other, you know. That's how we did it then, you know. So I actually brought the new book because I'm trying to train myself to read the shit. Okay. I'm being honest. I'm like, you know what? It might help you, Darlene, to read the new literature, girl. You know, I love Living Clean, but like the It Works How and Why, the Green and Gold. You know, I got every book, and you know, it just kind of sits there. But I think it's kind of interesting, so I thought I should read it. You know, before I do the 10th step, I should read it. I mean, I've read it before, but I thought I really should read it before I do the 10th step. But the basic text is so good because it's so simple.
Yes.
You know, now here's what I hate about the basic text. Oh, I'm not going to take you on those straight, you know, from point A to point Z journey because I don't know how to do that. You know, I blew those brain cells a long time ago. And even in 30 years of being clean and trying to work on myself has never come back. And I don't seem to need it. My higher power doesn't seem to make me need it. I seem to be successful enough. I get to go to work. I have my little life. You know, I got recovery. Y'all people don't have a brain that does that. You know, I don't remember a whole lot of stuff. So if I forget something, just forget about it. And let's go to the next story. And I forgot that one that I was just about to say. Anyway, look, trying to. The basic text is so basic, and what happens for me with the basic text is I can't hide. I can't hide. It just trips me out. It is so direct. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I open it to a step, I'd be like looking for the rest of the pages. You know what I mean? I'd be like, it's just one page? I hate this book. You know what I mean? Because it's like, don't do this and do that. Keep coming back. Yeah. And you'll be like, and by the way, the reason that you're here is because you do that every time. And guess what? If you do it again, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get it again. And I'm intellectual, so I'm like, come on now. The first thing I said when I saw the book, I said, anybody could have wrote that. You know what I mean? Oh my goodness. So critical. So judgmental. Of course I could have written it. That's why I'm in the rooms. Try to get some help. We were talking earlier today about how, you know, nicknames in recovery. You know, we used to have a bunch of people call themselves nicknames. Everybody said, Darlene, somebody said, Darlene, what was your nickname? I said, I didn't really have a nickname, but they did used to call me Weeping Willow, you know, because I cried so much, you know, and I still do. The thing about recovery is, well, let me say this. The thing about my addiction is that it was really serious because I was in a lot of pain. I was in a lot of pain. So when I got here, the relief was what I cried about first. When I sat in the rooms, even though I didn't want to be around you, mind you, I was 21. I'm 52. You feel me? I was 21. I had no intention of staying here. I thought people were crazy, crude, you know, and they didn't understand who I was. They were not giving me enough attention the way I needed attention. You know? So I was really out of place. But baby, when I heard the way y'all talked, it opened me up like a floodgate. My heart had not felt anything like it ever before. I didn't know that there was that much, just the feelings that people were talking about. Stuff that I had never told anyone, like being molested. You know what I mean? Hadn't told anybody. You know what I'm saying? And I heard people in there. One of the first people that I heard was Francis W., I think is her. Is Francis, yeah. Is Francis, I can't, W., right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And she came to the treatment. Thank God for service. All y'all that do service, especially people who do H&I, yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. That saved my life. Because I was in treatment telling them how to run the treatment center. Want to tell you, look, about day two, I was like made the team leader. Because that's what I do. That's my toxic, you know what I mean? I got a group of people together and we were going to get them to change the rules. You know, because there, of course, was stuff that needed to be changed. And I was right. I was right. I was right. I mean, I was right. But who cares? The people didn't give a damn whether I was right or not. It was their center, and I was a patient. But I didn't know. She came and she shared her story, and it was the first time I heard pieces of my story. And when they told me to go to a meeting after that treatment facility, I went because that woman came into that room and she shared her story. And I said, well, I don't understand these other people. Thank you, sweetheart. I don't understand these other, you know, what's going to happen. And I don't want to be around these other people. But maybe that one woman, I remember what she said. I said, that one woman, man, I can't deny that what happened to me because she said it. And why was she sitting in there with all that time? I forget how much time she had, but you know, 2 days was a lot to me. And so I don't do this. I can't do the thing of going through all the steps. I can only tell you how I got to where I am. And my point about the 10th step and self-reflection, which my sponsor said, oh, great, share on the 10th step, because like it's about self, the opportunity to self-reflect and see how you've grown and to be reminded of the places where you're still stuck. So that you can be what, Darlene? Free. You can be free if you can just continue to practice. So this practice of self-reflection, a lot of people, and it says it in our literature, they say we don't understand. We want to ask our sponsors. Now, what I asked my sponsor was before the first self-reflection was, well, actually, I told her. I actually thought that the fourth step should come before the third step. Now, listen to my rationalization. Hold on, wait a minute. See, y'all don't even know what I'm going to say. Oh, time out. Y'all don't even know what I'm going to say. What happened was, why am I going to turn something over to a higher power that I don't even know what I'm turning over? Let me write the inventory first. You feel me, Kenny? And then once I see it, I'll decide whether I want to turn it over. I thought that was brilliant. I was really like, you know, I was like, this is the best idea I've had in a long time. My sponsor was like, baby. And wait a minute, how many of y'all have had your sponsor say baby? Yeah. When your sponsor says baby, cut off whatever you get ready to say. Zip it up. It means you're going in the wrong direction. When they start shaking their head and saying baby, they just feel so sorry for you. She said, baby, there's been a lot of experience in this program before you got here. Just let's do it the way it's written. I said, oh, okay. So I did, and I had a couple of false starts like that where, you know, I really, you know, tried some things. I tried amends early on, screwed that up, got people mad, you know, made it worse, had new amends to the person I was making amends. Had to make amends, then I had to make 3-4 amends by the end. All of that happened, you know. And actually, my first sponsor was this old woman. She had emphysema. She died very quickly. And I used to go to this meeting in Georgetown in D.C. That's when we only had one area, the D.C. area. Mm-hmm. And it's grown so much, I'll say, that we have three areas. Yeah. Yeah. And so, but she gave me this little pamphlet called Living the Program. And so if you haven't seen Living the Program, just open it up when you get a chance one day. And she said, just do this every day. Mm-hmm. Now, why that woman had me doing a 10th step when I had like 3 days clean or whatever it was? I didn't understand that. I mean, I didn't know it was a 10th step. I didn't know what it was. But I looked at those questions every day, and I started feeling so bad about myself. She said, because you keep skipping the ones that are about your assets. I said, but I don't have no assets. She said, did you go to a meeting? Yeah. That's an asset. You know, you had the opportunity to see something that would work for you, and you stepped into that. That was a good thing. You know what I mean? Did you do any service today? Yeah. Okay, that's a good thing. You know, so she taught me how to see that process early on. So it's like, this is an opportunity to self-reflect. Now, all kinds of people, it says this in our literature too, all kinds of people all over the world self-reflect all the time. Spiritual leaders, if you... listen to the Dalai Lama, you know, some of the most profound spiritual leaders of our time. Thich Nhat Hanh, the Dalai Lama. These people who walk around, everybody bow to them. You know, the White House, when the Dalai Lama comes to the United States, they open everything. You know what I mean? Look, he say, if you have, take a spot check. Everything looking good? Good. Keep on going. Next time you get a minute, spot check again. That's the 10th step. That's the 10th step. Now, they know how to do that. That's why they're living good lives. We're running around, ain't looking at nothing. Let me talk about me. I'm running around, tearing people up, ain't looking at nothing that I've done. You know what I mean? And so in this moment in my life, I love that I have incorporated the spot check in my life. The spot check especially. Yes, I've done other kinds of inventories. I mean, in the 10th step. Longer ones, I said something to my sponsor sometime this past year. She's like, well, I think let's write about this relationships. You know, I was like, okay. I'm thinking like, I got almost as much time as you do. I really don't need to do that. But that's the arrogance in me. That's what goes on in my head. Like, there's a voice. I'm talking now. I'm not talking about back then. I'm talking right now. There's a voice in my head. And every time somebody tells me something that I know is good for me, the voice in my head goes, what do you know? It's always arrogant. You know, it's like, I mean, I got 30 years. You know, you ain't got but like 39. You know what I mean? But she always says that I'm really, really good. Because you know why? I think it, but I don't say it. I never say anything like that because I know it's crazy even when it comes across my mind. You know, it sounds crazy. So that's all good. I appreciate the practice of writing an inventory. And I think long ones, short ones, in-between ones. You know, I started with that daily one, that one that you do every night, you know, at the end of the day. And it was so good in my early recovery, you know. But doing a spot check now is my all-time favorite. And the reason is because it helps me sometimes spot checking. Helps me to stop some, and it says this in the literature too, stop some of the, it's a preventative measure too. Because sometimes when I'm just spot checking, I can see that I'm angry before I even go over here and cuss you out. And I'm famous, even today, for cussing you out. You know what I mean? So sometimes when I spot check, I go, ooh. And I just learned in this practice with this new person that I'm working with that, you know, that my anxiety is actually a cover for my deeper feelings, my other feelings like anger, which I'm afraid to express, except when I'm punching you in your face, dragging you down the hall, or cussing you out. And I'm not pretending. I'm telling that truth because that's stuff that I've done recently, right? Recently. See, so sometimes, you know, we have a little habit. I have a habit. Let me speak about myself. I, a person with 30 years, has a habit sometimes of not talking about what's actually happening right now. So I am practicing talking about what's going on right now. There's a lot that has happened over the years. You know, I would not be here with 30 years. I thought I was going to leave after about a few days when those people that I was working with figured out that I was a better person than I had behaved like since I had stolen all the money out of there. I went into the safe. But anyway, that's another topic. They gave me the code. I thought that better money was for me. You mean the money in the safe is not for me? Okay. Sidebar. So I was going to go right back. I'm only here now because I'm still dealing with the kinds of issues. Not the same issues. Different. Not that they're different, but I'm still dealing with what my sponsor calls things that still get me stuck. You know what I mean? It's like there's so much that I've worked through, so many things with the help of my sponsor, you people, the program of Narcotics Anonymous. So much is better. So much is better. I mean, I have a rich, full life. And then there are things that stick like a pin in my side and one move and it just comes out. You know what I mean? Like one little move, you know, and that could be a move that I make or a move that you make. You know what I mean? And I'm learning about myself through the practice of inventory to see that, like, oh, this triggers me, and I can elicit your help. You know, just like what you talked about and having gone through the 7th step. You know what I mean? You learn the practice of asking for help. You know, not just from the higher power. I mean, it's all coming from the higher power. But asking for help. Asking for help so that I don't get stranded out here like I did when I had what? Anybody know? 24, 23 years in jail. Okay? In jail. I've never been to jail. I told you I was when I got here. I was horrified. You know what happened to me in jail? This is another sidebar. You know what happened to me in jail? I went into jail and little girl next to me said, oh, I know who you are. I said, baby, we are in jail. I'm in the fucking box. Leave me alone. I was like, don't call my name out in here. You know, and it wasn't from recovery that she knew me. I was like, oh, why does this happen to me? Of course. I did a fantastic inventory all night long, sitting on that hard ass thing with my legs folded in meditation, in lotus position. I couldn't even walk the next morning. Oh my gosh. Oh. My arrogance got me into jail. And my anger. I was so damn mad at my ex and my relationship stuff. See, if you really want to know something about yourself, please get in a relationship. And even when it feels like you need to run, don't go. Stay. I wouldn't lead you wrong. You know, I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I wouldn't lead you wrong. You know, so I'm saying these things because I know I used to judge people who had time. You know what I mean? And I would say, why you cut? No, I wouldn't say that because I cuss all the time. But, you know, whatever. You know, I make my judgments and my pronouncements. And now that I'm here, I realize that, oh, recovery is an inside job and an ongoing journey. Oh, okay. Oh, now I get it. Now I'm mad when people say something about me, but it's okay. You know, I get it. I get that I can't evolve to a place of such spiritual enlightenment that I'm God. I'm not going to be God. You know what I mean? As long as I'm here on this earth, I'm going to be human. You know, I'm an addict. I read articles about addiction and stuff. And you know, they're always trying to solve it and all that kind of stuff. But I read the most fascinating one recently talking about the rats that they talked about in the study that they did when they did the cocaine in the water. Now, that's me, the rat with the cocaine in the water. So what happened was, there was a couple of rats, there was two waters, one that was plain and one that had cocaine in it. And the rats kept doing the cocaine one. This is my story. You don't need to know anything else about my story but this. They kept sucking on the water with the cocaine in it until they died. Yeah. Here I am. I kept sucking on the bottle with the cocaine in it until I ended up here by the grace of God. By the grace of God. You understand? But what they found out was another guy said, well, that's weird. It was a cage with only two rats and two bottles of water, one with cocaine and one regular. What you need to do is you need to put them in a cage that has more nourishment, more nurturing, you know, an environment that had, you know, it had trails, those things that they run around on, and it had little bushes that they could go under, and it had all that kind of stuff. And what they found out is that you put a rat in recovery in a community that's filled with support. You put a rat in recovery, you put a rat in a space that's filled with other people, with places that they can get help, where they can get love, where they can know that they can exercise themselves and nourish themselves. And guess what happened? They tried the cocaine, but they didn't keep using. And I see that in Narcotics Anonymous every single day. Every single day. I see new people coming all the time. They come in and I see old people. We go in and out, come back, because the love and the support and the nourishment and the recovery and the possibility, the opportunity, the things that we need to get to where we're trying to go to be with the God of our understanding is right here. So what do? We keep coming back. We keep coming here. So don't worry about the mistakes, but acknowledge them. Acknowledge them, because I cannot get better if I don't acknowledge the truth. I make mistakes. My spot check, the best spot check I get is I call my sponsor. I say, I did it again, Kathy. And she said, baby, keep on the horse. Get back on the horse. That's what my baby says too. She said, my mama told me, get back on the horse. I say, okay, baby, I'm going to get back on the horse. Get back on the horse. That means stay in recovery. Don't let that addict mind take you back. That's addiction, right? You know, that's the addict mind that does that. Let me whip myself to death. I tell my sponsees all the time, if I thought whipping your ass would cure you from the behavior you got, I would tell you to beat your own ass. But guess what? It doesn't work. It feeds on the addictive nature. It's like being in the rat cage with just the bottle of water tainted with cocaine. That's what beating yourself up is like. Okay? So what I'm learning is that I'm still doing things that are not esteemable. Damn. Here I go again. You know, cussing out people that I love. You know, being angry finding myself doing things that are just, you know, they are me. My mind says they're not me. No, they really are me because I'm doing it. You know, yeah. They're me. But they're not the part of me that I want to live in. I don't mind being human. And let me tell you something. I don't even mind being angry. There is good in anger. Yeah. Did you know that?
That's true.
There is power in anger. Yeah. And there is truth. My truth, not the truth, but there's truth in anger. It's revealing how I actually feel. I feel disturbed, but what does it say in our literature? If I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me.
That's right.
You know, you may be something you said, but there's something wrong with me. Okay? You may, I can blame you and talk about you, but there's something wrong with me. You know, so for me, it's about constant reflection, and it is such a gift. What a treat this program is, huh?
Yeah.
What a treat this program is. Getting to work steps like that. I'm supposed to say something about the traditions. I got, what, 5 minutes? Okay. Look, it's not that much difference. Let me tell you something. There's not that much distance between the 10th step and the 10th tradition. You know why? Because if I would mind my business as an individual,
okay,
half my problems would be gone. Okay? Right? You know, the tenth tradition is about not having any opinions on outside issues. That is the bane of my existence, my personal existence. You know, I got opinions about stuff I ain't got no business having an opinion about. That's why I'm upset, angry, disturbed, out of control, acting out of my so-called character. You know, I can learn from the practices of the program because the traditions are really about. Really, our program. It's about keeping a safe place, really, for the addict who still suffers. So there's always, and I mean always, a message of recovery and the possibility of hope for any addict. And we suffer whether we're clean or not. So when I say an addict who is still suffering, I mean me too, you know? So it's about not having those opinions. And I'm a very, you know, political person in my day life, you know, outside of the rooms. But nobody want to hear me telling y'all what you, I mean, I would if it was up to me, I would organize us and all the policies in the United States around drugs would be changed. I really would. I'm the type to do that kind of thing. You know, that's in my other life, that's what I would do. But for some reason, because of the traditions and the way that the program operates, and because the program, no matter how I try, there's always somebody says, no opinion on outside issues, darling. I think we should say something about this. No opinion on outside issues. There's always somebody like Cynthia, somebody like that knows the tradition, going to tell me about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll be like, okay. Because if it was up to me, I would have us do some stuff, and I really think it would change a lot of lives because I know a lot of stuff. I feel confident. But thank God, you all don't need to listen to me when it comes to that. You know, thank God I don't need to be trapped by my own thinking about what I can help. And thank God that as an individual, as Darlene, I can go out and talk about any issues about addiction that I want to. I just can't do that as a person in Narcotics Anonymous representing Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? And thank God for Narcotics Anonymous that we don't allow those outside issues to really prevent us from our primary purpose. You know, because that's what happens in my life on a day-to-day basis. I start with a purpose, and I get distracted and deterred. You know, and I get turned around, and I see something over here that looks delicious, and I decide to go for it. And then that becomes my focus, and I forget the primary purpose, and then I get off track. I get to come back because as long as I don't use, I have a chance. You know what I mean? They say that there are forces, internal and external, in reading our traditions, internal and external forces that could destroy us. Well, my internal forces and the internal forces in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, which is all of us, are dangerous. My internal forces, my thinking, my feelings, if I follow them, you know, my intellect that I think is so powerful, those things can destroy me. Those things can destroy me. I need help to play in here. I don't need to be in my head. I need a high power. I need other people. And for Narcotics Anonymous, we need to remember that we can destroy, we can self-implode. You know, if we're not careful, we can self-implode. We need to be loving. We need to keep that principle up front. You know, so what I do is I try to model that because, you know, we talk about systems and the program and all of that like it's something separate from us. You know, ain't the program ain't nothing but me, you, and you, and you, and you. So if it's messed up, it's because of me, you, and you, and you, and you. You know, if you like the program, I mean, the program used to be real good, but, you know, this is a really change. Well, you still here? So, if, you know, if I'm still standing here, so if there's something wrong with the program, I'm a part of that problem.
Right.
I, Darlene, am a part of that problem. So I don't need to complain about it. If I don't like it, I can be a part of the group conscious
right.
that helps it to be the way that
That's
we know
right.
is in line with the traditions. Simple. Don't get distracted. That's all the 10th tradition tells me. Stay focused on the primary purpose. Don't have an opinion. Opinions has ruined society since its beginning. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for this program. Thank God for sponsorship, you know, for helping each other. You know, for one addict helping another, the therapeutic value. Thank God for the 10th step and the 10th tradition. They've changed my life. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.